Scott is the director of communications for InterVarsity. I've been thinking about communications as what we say and how we say it, as well as what we don't say and why. So I'll hand it over to Scott at this point.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Jenny. That was very nice. I actually put this chapter in my calendar months ago, and then earlier this week I went to Roger and said, "What am I talking on?" And he corrected my opinion at that point, which was a good thing. And my understanding, my assignment is to talk a little bit about what communications does and why it does it. And it's a lot of fun to be able to do that. So InterVarsity Communications, from an org chart point of view, we're a pretty simple group. Print communications, Jonathan led a chapel a month or so ago and introduced the writers and what we do in print communications. We also have a video production group. We have a graphics team that does things. We have a web team of one. It's hard to call them a team. And we call a certain part of this 2100. We label it that. But the reality is that these things actually kind of come together. And there's a few other departments that we have that really aren't departments, like event support. If Dan was here this morning, he'd say, yeah, that's a major department we don't have staff for. And it kind of goes up in there. And then there's some R&D kinds of things. And I love that picture. I love it when a plan comes together. That's the communications team. Any questions? Over the years, God's led a remarkable group of people to InterVarsity to work with 2100 and the communications team. And there's now well over 100 people that have come through our ranks. And it's been a phenomenal privilege for me to get to work with some of those people over the years. It's been just a lot of fun. But I'm actually not going to talk about that very much today. We could talk about communications. We could go through the 10 C's of communication, you know, and you could learn all those and get them all down. But I think you might find that that was producing a lot of noise and you'd have trouble remembering that exactly, and that wouldn't be effective. What I actually would like to talk about a little bit is the kind of people, the kind of team that we aspire to be in communications. And I say aspire because I don't think we've arrived yet. These are things we're working on, but who is it? And this is a way, Roger, of putting the prayer requests out there too, because this is actually how I'd like you to pray for the communications group, that as they pursue these kinds of things, God's Spirit works in us and through us to help us to become this. And the first of those things is a witnessing community. About a little over a decade ago now, InterVarsity changed its purpose statement. And right in the middle of that purpose statement is the phrase witnessing community. And when we did that, it caused me to do a lot of thinking and a lot of study about what exactly is a witnessing community and how do you learn about that. And I discovered in Scripture a passage that's become one of my favorites. And if you're around me too much in meetings, you hear me quote this over and over again, Isaiah 43:10. It's one of those little sections in Isaiah where actually it's kind of an intriguing section. God's on trial, and he calls these witnesses to bear testimony to who and what he is. And there's this little funny little parenthesis at the beginning of this. He says, call those blind and deaf people to come and be my witnesses. And then you go on and you read this. You are my witnesses. God turns to these witnesses and says the Lord, and my servants whom you've chosen, so that you may talk a lot about who I am and what I'm, no, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. The whole point of being a witness community is to pay attention to what God's doing in the world. Witnesses are people who observe and watch and pay attention to what's going on in the world around them. And that, you know, I like to say about communication, good communication is at least half listening. So one of the things the communication team wants to do is pay attention to what God's doing in the world. We want to look at the culture. We want to understand what the culture is saying. We want to look at our own chapters, our own witnessing communities on campus. We want to look for what God is doing there, and we want to be able to talk about it. We even want to look for what God's doing in those situations that are a little blurry, it's a little harder to discern exactly what we're looking at sometimes. But the work of being a witnessing community is paying attention. Paying attention to what you're seeing, being able to understand that, discern patterns. And that is actually what prepares you first and foremost to be in the communication business and say anything to anybody. So that's the first thing we aspire to be, as a witnessing community who pays attention and looks and watches what God's doing and what's happening in our world and what's going on in the culture, and discern those things. Sometimes out of those kinds of careful paying attention, you get to speak God's word into the situation, and that's pretty exciting, pretty fun stuff. Well, the second community we aspire to be is an artistic community. Now, what's an artistic community? Artistic communities build things, and some of you may be aware that actually in Scripture, the very first group of people that the Holy Spirit fills, that are filled with the Holy Spirit, are a couple of guys in the Old Testament who are artists. And they are charged and skilled by God to build a place where God will be known and he will be present in their community. And they're the guys who build the tabernacle. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have already called Bezalel, son of Uri, and Huri, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze and cutting stone for setting, and in carving wood, and in every kind of craft." I've always loved to build things. I loved to build things when I was a kid. In fact, one of the things I built as a kid that I was particularly proud of was a little mini bike. You know, in my day, they were great fun. I lived on a dead-end street, so you could ride around on these things. And some of those of you who know me wouldn't be surprised at all to know I had a pretty specific idea as to exactly how this thing should be built and exactly what materials should be used and all that sort of thing. And my dad smiled a little bit at that prospect, but he let me go ahead and do it. In fact, he kind of set up with a local farmer who had a welder to help me weld the frame, and I went to the metal yard and bought this metal and cut it and got it all welded together. And I still remember vividly the day when I finally got the motor and the wheels and everything all together and I could take my mini bike for a test drive. Now remember, we live on a dead end street, so out front, I got the motor started and went down the street and crossed about three houses, crossed the street and up the other side of the street and then back across the street and down towards home. And as I was getting close to back home, to our house, I had this sinking feeling, quite literally a sinking feeling. I'm getting closer to the ground as I'm going along here. I was crossing bumps in the sidewalk. And what was literally happening is this beautiful, just exactly the right metal I wanted to make this thing out of, that people looked at and, was not strong enough to hold my weight. And the bumps on the sidewalk were literally collapsing the frame. And the whole mini bike was collapsing on top of me. Well, so I'm not sure I would say at that point that I was skilled in every kind of craft to devise things. That's actually a process that goes on in life, and you work at, and you work at very hard, and it does depend upon the grace of God to move in your life. The good news about the mini bike, I think I built three or four more as a kid, and the last one I had, I did wonderful things tearing up all kinds of places for it, and it did not collapse. It was great fun. So, I still love to build things. I love to build stages for a band. I love to build teams. I love to see diverse teams come together. I love to build media tools and pamphlets full of little things that staff can talk about stuff. That is just great fun for me, and it's the wonder of seeing things come together into a pattern that's meaningful and works for people. So. When you think about the church and the history of the church and what communications has been about, and you do a little study, you realize Christian communicators through the century have done some of the finest artwork available. This particular piece is out of a stained glass window in the Middle Ages, out of a cathedral. And so as Christian communicators who are part of an artistic community, we pursue excellence. We're interested in doing things extremely well. We're also interested in creativity. We're also interested in looking at new things and understanding new patterns and putting them together in new ways. And that's part of the fun of being an artistic community, is that whole process of creativity and looking at things. I would say we're also interested in beauty as an artistic community. We look at what God has created in the world around us. We think of his beauty. We think of what's there. And then regardless of the kind of media piece we're putting together, or on our best stage, or whatever it is, we think about what is beauty here? What speaks to the heart of a person in ways that are beyond sometimes words? We write an article. What's beauty in that article? So as an artistic community, those are things we pursue. Well, third kind of community we aspire to be, and that's a storytelling community. And this is actually also deeply a part of our Christian heritage and calling. You know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, for thousands of years, if you go back into the Old Testament, God's people have been people that tell a story. This particular triptych is the story of the finding of the Old Testament law in the Old Testament when there's, under Hezekiah, there's this renewal of worship of God, and that's what this triptych tells if you're able to actually see it. But as storytellers, you know, there's a number of things that we think about particularly. You know, there's that little section in Acts that you probably all remember and know, when after the resurrection, Peter and John are brought before the religious leaders and experts. And they've been out telling the story of Jesus and what's happened to Jesus. And so they're called to the Sanhedrin, and they ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot keep from speaking about what we've seen and heard." It's part of what we do as Christians. It's why these images come together, as we're witnesses. We can't help but tell others about what we are seeing. Another little favorite passage, you know, that I've had a lot of fun studying John in preparation for Banna and thinking about that with the communication team and some folks at church. And at the end of John's gospel, John gives you his purpose statement. "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." John's a writer. He's part of an artistic community, and he's putting together a story in that artistic, in a way. And boy, if you read the Gospel of John, you can't help but being blown away by what a quality storyteller he is. He's just a phenomenal storyteller. And that's part of what we want to do as a communications team. Over the years, you know, storytellers deal with ideas. We have the job of telling God's stories. That's one of the things we do in the communications department. Sometimes that's a matter of Bible translation. Some of the favorite tools we've done over time and space have been actually kind of translating scripture. A lot of them have been doing related to evangelism. And actually, you know, many of you wouldn't know this, but 2100 started as part of the Southern California Evangelism Project. Over the years, 2100, which toured campuses for years, Habakkuk, MARK, Making a Response to the King, those were all big touring shows that went around the country doing evangelism on campus. We produced Out of the Salt Shaker with Becky Pipper, the film series, in the early 80s. Dawn's sitting here, I saw your face a minute ago. She spent, you know, a couple of years of her life booking Bruce Kuhn and helping Cliff Connectly, you know, be around on campus, because we were committed to telling the story about what God was doing in communications. Contagious Christian, we worked with Willow Creek. You know, Proxy Stations actually started out of a kind of an R&D project here. You hear about those all over the movement now. We've just done the Reimagining Evangelism thing. And I haven't even touched the other kinds of storytelling we do. We take cameras out to campus and talk about what's going on in a multi-ethnic community, or how that's working, or when we write articles about transformation. We are in the business of telling God's story as we see it and understand it. That's part of who we aspire to be as communicators. Well, we actually have a word for telling InterVarsity's story, We talk about what God is doing in InterVarsity, it's marketing. We do that. We try and do that with tremendous Christian integrity because we're concerned to actually talk about what God is doing through it, even through InterVarsity. And if we're interested in storytelling, we're also interested in telling the truth. You know, we tell the truth about ourselves. What is our story as people? And sometimes that's difficult and challenging and hard, and it's always hard in a community environment to tell stories about yourself and tell the truth about yourself. But that's part of who we aspire to be. Well, we are also a diverse community. It might be helpful for you to know that I was born and brought up in the small town where I built the mini bike, and the reason you could drive those things around is because there were 7,000 people, and they all looked just like me. The diversity in the town I grew up in was zip. I still have vivid memories of a family that had different colored skin moving to town. They survived about 6 weeks. I'm sure their experience was everybody was gawking at them constantly. So my upbringing, my experience as a child was pretty limited in terms of any kind of diversity. Economically, you know, socioeconomically, ethnically, all those kinds of things. Very, very narrow environment that I got to, that I came from. When we actually got to InterVarsity, one of our very first experiences on InterVarsity staff was we spent 10 days, 2 weeks, on a remote desert island with that team studying scripture. And Don and I still have wonderful memories of discussions that erupted because we didn't have any support staff for that 10 days. We were on our own. We were cooking our own meals, and we were rotating through the team and that kind of thing. And one morning, something very strange appeared at the breakfast table. And we kind of, what is this? This is not breakfast food. And a conversation began with a guy who is actually now one of our vice presidents in InterVarsity about what appropriate food is, you know, kind of thing. And rice? Well, you eat rice with a little bit of brown sugar on it, sometimes instead of potatoes for dinner, right? And Paul looked at us like, where are you coming from? And fried rice for breakfast? Paul said, my mom picks fried rice for breakfast every morning. You know, so you come from different places and you have different expectations about what the food you are going to eat. One of the dear people on the 2100 team in the early days was a Hawaiian woman. She's gone on to become a well-known documentary filmmaker. Boy, Stephanie and Scott just kind of missed each other. I mean, you know, culturally, you know, where I was coming from and where she was coming from, very different places. And we're still friends, and we're able to laugh about some of those misunderstandings today. But the whole diversity built into the community from just an ethnic perspective, from family perspectives, is huge. And I've actually come to really appreciate a small passage in John, and I think I'm probably misinterpreting this or taking this out of context a little bit, but in John 8, Jesus is in a dialogue again with his favorite group, the religious authorities, those people who are in the know. And the question is about authority and what they know. And this little statement happens: I know where I've come from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. And then these words, and the first time I saw them in studying John, it just kind of hit me right between the eyes. You judge by human standards. I don't judge anyone. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. Now, I'm twisting this just ever so slightly, but what I began to realize as I looked at that is that when we make the mistake as human beings of using our judgment and only our judgment, Jesus says we're wrong. We're too limited in our perspective. You know, we don't see well enough. God can see more fully and broadly, and he can understand things. And so when we move into a community, one of the reasons that we aspire to be a diverse community, a community that champions diversity, is so we can gain perspectives from other people. The 2100 team, and all the years that I've been a part of it, has never been an ethnically monocultural community. We've always had people that were not my skin color on that team. And that has been a phenomenal gift to me. The more I thought about this, the more I realized this is actually a theme of Scripture that starts at the very beginning. If you remember in Genesis, you know, creation is good, creation is good, creation is good, creation is good. And then in Genesis 1, you hit that point where something's not good. What is it that's not good?
Man should be alone.
That man is alone. That man just has his own perspective. Man needs a helpmeet, is the Hebrew word there. We usually mistranslate that. Helpmeet is also a term that gets applied to God. God is man's helpmeet, as well as woman is man's helpmeet. And the whole notion, when you step back and look at creation, is it takes male and female. It takes different perspectives to come together and to accomplish what God wants to happen. And that's true of a community. You know, the community that we want to be needs different perspectives. So I am so thankful that the 2100 team is not filled with INTJs. I think, you know, they should understand INTJs a little better and appreciate INTJs a little more than they do. But we have people on the team who are actually Fs, you know, and they are the better artists. We have people on the team who are very concerned about details and getting things done. And we have meetings all the time as a team in which, you know, me, blithely, I'm task-oriented out the wazoo, and I don't even understand people's feelings or thoughts or reactions. And I feel say, wait a minute, Scott, time out. You know, did you realize that, you know, John or Joe or Mary was really hurt by that or really confused? You know, and they pull the team back, and we desperately need that. We need that as people, as a community, and we want to be a community that champions that, that raises that up. We want to look at each other's artistic endeavors, and we want to evaluate those with tremendous love and care, but bringing to those, you know, new and different perspectives. And we actually believe that an artistic community that is diverse, that's telling stories, and trying to pay attention to what God's doing in the world can be far, far, far more effective at communication than individuals can, even if they're extremely skilled and extremely gifted people. Well, diverse community. There's one more kind of community we want to be, and that is a missional community. The word in John's Gospel, and it appears, you know, just over and over and over again, is sent community. People who are sent. People who are on a purpose, with a purpose, that have a mission in life. They know where they're going, and they know what they're trying to do as they go there. And we aspire to be a team that has a strong sense of that. We want to be people who know what God has called us to and how he's called us to that. It's a common notion in Scripture. You know, if you study the Gospel of John, you know you come to this kind of pivotal moment at near the end of John's Gospel when Jesus is talking with his disciples and he says, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me." Now, all the way through the Gospel of John, you get God is, Jesus is sent, Jesus is sent, Jesus is sent. You get talked about what Jesus is sent to do. And then finally it turns in, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And that's the word to the communication team, it's the word to all of us. This is actually a notion, too, that goes all the way back into Scripture. One of my early experiences with, you know, Father John Stott in the early days of Urbana, and beginning to understand the biblical basis of missions were the words that we used back in those days, was a new introduction to Genesis 12. Remember what's happening in Genesis 12 at the beginning of that? God's appearing to Abraham. And it's actually that point that if you have Jewish heritage, you know, this is the beginning of the Jewish nation when God calls out Abraham and chooses him as a people. But listen to this. Now, God said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you." That's kind of an interesting notion in and of itself in terms of how we're called apart and how to be part. "I will make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12. You're not very far in Scripture when you get this notion that God chooses people and then sends them and makes them purposeful. He makes them missional communities in the world. And we aspire to be a missional community. Now, over the years, we've actually kind of developed a notion as to what our particular task is in terms of being a missional community. And that is, we're in the business of making tools for kingdom builders. One of my favorite metaphors is a hammer. I don't know how many of you have ever done any building, but just take, you know, a 3-inch nail and push it in with your thumb. Your thumb will be really, really sore. It really hurts. And you want to know it's worse. Put the nail in the wrong place and try and pull it out with your fingernails. You know, hammers are really, really, really useful tools if you want to build something, if you want to build a house. And whether you're pounding in that nail or, you know, being you make mistakes and pull the nail back out and use the claw, hammers make it happen. Without the hammers, it's a very, very difficult thing. So as a communication team, we want to be tool builders. So when Jonathan and his team writes articles and send those out and put them on the web, our goal is actually to be putting tools in people's hand about how to tell the story of what God is doing. When we produce a videotape or a DVD or a small piece, we're interested in putting tools in staff and students' hand. They can talk about what the kingdom is, and they can help build it. We're working on graphics all the time. Right now, because it's the fiscal year end, we're working on graphics like crazy, aren't we, Joe? Trying to get stuff out to the printer. And we think about those things. What tools can we produce for NSO that will help chapters grow and be planted on campus? What tools can we create that will help staff raise funds so they can carry on the ministry? Or they can, in fact, become storytellers of what God's doing on campus. So we would say, you know, purpose of the communication team, who ultimately, what we do, we build hammers. We build hammers for kingdom carpenters who are in the process of working on the kingdom. Roger, it's a great privilege to share with you this morning in chapel what we're about. I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you.